Matthew chapter 1, we're going to be reading verses 18 to 25. Last week we spoke about Christmas, a time of miracles. This morning I want to talk about Christmas, a time of angels. And obviously, as we look at the incarnation, we recognize that angels were dispatched by God for various roles, various significant purpose, for a very significant outcome. That's my outline. Let's go to the passage. And now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher, and ask you, Lord, to just give me, Father, the words you would like this congregation to hear this morning from this subject. I ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit be our teacher in marvelous ways that we cannot even understand, for there are folks here who need, Father, guidance and things I am not even aware of. But the delivery of a message is more than that. It is you speaking to our hearts. So I pray that for our congregation. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a lady by the name of Joan Wester Anderson is one of the most prolific American authors on the subject of human experiences with angels. It just seems like is it coming in and out? Now, I just put new batteries in, unless they weren't new. Maybe you could get me some new batteries and we'll swap these out. Maybe they were not too good. And I'll just keep talking. So anyway, getting back to the subject at hand, she wrote a number of books on the subject of encounters with angelic beings, a vocation that was actually inspired by her own son's personal encounter. And maybe some of us have had encounters with angels, unbeware even to some of us. Her son's story is one of my favorite. He and two friends. He had two friends that were traveling across the country, and it was an awful, awful, terrible cold night. Their car broke down in a deserted cornfield, and they would have probably frozen to death. In fact, that night there were reports that actually happened. Some people were caught unaware and froze to death. But that particular night, a tow truck driver appeared, hitched them up, and took them to safety. But when they got out of the car and turned around to thank the truck driver and offer to pay, he was gone, and so was the truck. Now, I'm sure if I went around the room, I could probably get some excuses why that happened. But there was more than one person who saw what happened. So it wasn't the account of one person. And it was a state of emergency. And there were absolutely no rescue vehicles on the road.
And then the third thing, which blows my mind, they couldn't find a trace of a truck tire track in the snow. That's impossible. Joan tells many stories in her book. She tells the story of a pilot in a very small single-engine plane flying in the fog and was unable to land the plane. And the pilot heard a voice come over his intercom, and that pilot talked him down into a small airport where, thank God, he was able to land his plane safely. But as he got out of the plane, him and his co-pilot, they discovered there wasn't anybody in the tower. In fact, there wasn't anybody on duty. In fact, that airport had been closed. God works in mysterious ways, and many times God uses angels to help us. Angels do exist. And if we're believers, we know that. And they are involved in the affairs of men, because that's God's desire for them. There was a Gallup poll done that said over 75% of Americans believe in angels, which I thought was rather fascinating, because we don't have that many people attending churches. That wouldn't that be nice? Everyone that believes in angels would attend church, but they don't. So this says to me that many people are looking back maybe at coincidences that they think were coincidences in their lives and are beginning to recognize that God is involved in the affairs of men. But you don't have to go far to recognize that. Just read your Bible. Amen. Others know that these sightings that we are seeing in the sky that are called UFOs are supernatural, and we are coming closer to the tribulation period where angelic warfare will proliferate, and we are going to begin to see more and more astonishing signs in the sky. And we shouldn't be alarmed by that. Jesus said that. I don't know if you heard, just last month, a team of 16 researchers selected by NASA will spend the next 9 months studying these unidentified aerial phenomena. UAP, also known as UFOs. The research, which will use all unclassified data, is to eventually lead to a report that will be made available to the public sometime in 2023. This selected research group includes professors, it includes scientists, it even includes oceanographers, and other people who have been involved in outer space. Even Senator Kelly, who is an astronaut, will be on that committee. If I had a say in it, I would recommend that they would have a good theologian on their team so that they could study Ezekiel chapter 1, Ezekiel chapter 10, and recognize that the phenomenon that they're seeing are exactly what's described in the book of Ezekiel. Now, we don't have time this morning. I was going to go through this, but I want to get you out here before we get accumulation. But go home and read Ezekiel 1, verses 5 to 24. Just read the whole chapter. And there, Ezekiel, who's a captive at the river Kibar, has an experience with the cherubim of God. And so these aren't spaceships from outer space. Some people told me when I told them about this, well, how do you know that that just wasn't, you know, an encounter with some aliens from outer space? No, because Ezekiel was told by God who these were, that these were the angels, the high angels of God. Seraphim are one of the highest angels. Archangels higher than that. And he describes them. They're like nothing that you probably have ever seen. And how they move is incredible. And Ezekiel in chapter 10 speaks of them moving very quickly, and they can move in any direction. And when they move, their wings make a very loud noise. And Ezekiel gave this description of a wheel within a wheel. What does that wheel within a wheel? A saucer. A lot of people say they see. And they also say they see a lot of lights. Well, if you read a description of Ezekiel, he said that these creatures of God, they had eyes all about them. Each wheel is composed of two wheels at right angles to each other. Dr. Wright, who's an expert on this, said this is impossible in reality, but it enables the chariot to move instantly in any direction without turning. And do you know one of the phenomenons that they're baffled about is that these UFOs, they're caught in the sky and they're moving, and then they go in a different direction without turning. So in other words, going on like this, instead of like a normal vessel would have to make a turn like that, if you're going to turn around, they just go whoop, whoop, or whoop, 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 like that. They don't need to turn. And they can go in any direction in incredible speeds. And Ezekiel also gave a description of their gleaming appearance, like polished bronze. And Ezekiel did his very best to describe these creatures of God by the best metaphors that he could of his time. Burning coals of fire, today we would say, was like a bright light. And he also used the terminology flaming torches. And what do we hear all the time when these aerial phenomena are seen? And by the way, I've never had anybody say, well, we got into their spaceship. They see these sightings, and the Bible says that in latter days there'll be signs in the sky. And we're seeing them now. Do you know our government has spent quite a bit of your tax money investigating what just possibly might be in the Bible? And I think they ought to have a theologian on that team. Angels are from heaven. They are not of this world. And are not conformed and confined by the natural laws that you and I are confined by. You've got to remember that God exists outside of time and space, out of what we call the natural laws. God created them. He's above them. He's beyond them. He exists outside of them. For God, there is no time as we know it. There is no past, present, or future. I know that concept is difficult to understand, but when you study the attributes of God, that's who God is. And God's angels are, as Billy Graham said in his book, God's special agents, or his secret agents. And the Bible tells us that God's angels had significant missions in the affairs of men. However, none ever as important as the incarnation of God's only begotten Son. In fact, we see a tremendous proliferation of angelic intervention before, at, and after the incarnation of Christ. And so God's angels perform very, very specific roles in relationship to the incarnation. Therefore, Christmas is a time of angels. The angel Gabriel, he was the chief messenger of God. In fact, he's one of the four archangels that are mentioned in the Bible. The other one is Michael. You say, but I only know of Gabriel and Michael. Yes, but there is Hebrew tradition and writings, we're not saying they're canonical, that talk about Ariel and Raphael as archangels of God. But the angel Gabriel was a chief messenger of God because he delivered some very, very important messages from God to human agents. Way back before the Messiah was born, it was Gabriel who communicated crucial information concerning the future of Israel and the coming of their Messiah. If you recall that when Jesus rode through the city of Jerusalem on the donkey on what we call Palm Sunday, he was rejected The Bible says he came unto his own and his own received him not. What we often forget is he went out after that and he wept. And if you ever examine the words that he said, all Israel, all Zion, his heart was broken because they should have known, he said, the time of his coming. How could they have known? Because the angel Gabriel came and said, a Messiah will come 490 years after the decree to rebuild the wall and to go back to the homeland. They should have known. Now, they wouldn't have known the day or the hour. That's okay. We don't know the day or the hour of Christ's second coming. And Jesus wept because God dispatched Gabriel to communicate the message of the coming of the Messiah. Go home and read that. Chapter 9 of the book of Daniel explains that. Last week, we noted that it was Gabriel who announced to Mary that she was going to be the mother of Jesus. And it was the angel Gabriel who informed Zechariah the priest that he would be the father of the forerunner of the Messiah. And that had to come first. Why? Because it was prophesied. And Gabriel was sent to Zechariah. Yeah, your wife is going to have a baby. Oh, that's not possible. Same that, you know, Abraham said. He revealed to the Virgin Mary that she would give birth. Folks, angels of God are messengers to do his bidding and are remarkable in how they travel. Because how they travel is supernatural than anything we know. And they can mimic human beings. In fact, in Jones' book you could read, and I've read other accounts in different Christian magazines of how people have beheld the guardian angel of their loved one. And for some reason, they kind of mimic the image of the person that they're guardian of. I wish I had more time to get into those. Those of you who took the course with me, angelology and saintology, might recall some of those stories. Do you know that 34 of the 66 books of the Bible refer to these angelic beings by the simple term we know as angel? And if you look that word up, not only in English, but in the original, the Greek from which it's taken, it just simply means a messenger. And do you know you can be an angel for God? Amen. Not a supernatural being, but you can be an angel in that you are a messenger of the truth of God. And I really think that at Christmas time, we ought to rededicate ourselves to that mission to get the message out to a lost and dying world. And this name, it refers to beings, angelic beings, who are sent by Almighty God on special assignments. The scripture also refers to them by other terms. In fact, part of our course was to review all of the names given to the angels. The morning stars in the book of Job. Job was talking about how the morning stars were there when God created all that he created. They're known as the sons of God, the watchers, and many other names. But we don't have time to go on over all that. But these angelic beings are always dispatched by God for specific assignments. And one of the great roles given to Gabriel was to announce to Mary and to Zechariah the coming of the Messiah. And they were also given some very, very specific purposes. The first one was the procuring of the Messiah. In Matthew chapter 1, you read that with me, but let's go back to verse 20, where it says, but while he, that's speaking of Joseph, thought on these things, what was he thinking about? He was thinking of putting Mary away privately to not marry her because she was found with child. And God allowed an angel to speak to him. Now, we don't know who this angel was. But my purpose in this is to show you that God dispatched an angel for a very, very specific purpose. Because Satan was doing everything that he could, even involving himself in human affairs, so that the Christ child would never be born. And even after he was born, Satan was working to kill the Christ child. Because if he could kill the Messiah, then you and I would have no redemption. So in Matthew 1:20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." Again, sent as a messenger, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And then in the next verse, the angel instructed Joseph that the child was to be called Jesus. "Joseph, this is a message from God. The Messiah's name is to be Yeshua. A name full of meaning. The Greek equivalent of the word from the Hebrew, Joshua. Meaning, Jehovah saves." And then there was the proclamation of the Messiah. It was angels that declared the birth of Christ. So not only were angels involved with the procuring of the Messiah, but the proclamation. Go to Luke chapter 2. It's a familiar passage. In fact, we might even study this a little more in detail next time. But Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, it reads, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock. And what happened?" Verse 9, we have angelic intervention. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them." And the Bible says that they were sore afraid. Why? This is an angelic supernatural being. "But the angel said unto them," and I love this, every time God sends an angel, people are scared. And the first thing they say is what? "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." But the angels didn't stop there. Verse 13. "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude," not just one angel, a multitude of angels. We don't know how many. The word multitude just means many. "And they were praising God." And so not only was there proclamation of the birth of the Messiah, but there was exaltation by the angels of God. And then another purpose of dispatching these angelic beings was for the protection of the Messiah. First we had the procuring, the proclamation, and then last, the protecting. Go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, and what do we read? "And when they departed," meaning the wise men, this is the passage about the wise men, "Herod said, 'Come back, let me know where he is.' And the angels intercede, said, 'No, you're not going to do that.' And the Bible says, 'And when they were departed, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" And we know that many innocent children from the ages of infancy to 3 were murdered by this despot, this wicked and evil man. And he was empowered by Satan to destroy and kill the Messiah. And again, we notice angelic instruction and guidance to protect the Messiah. In Matthew 19, once again, an angel of the Lord instructs Joseph. "Joseph, it's time to flee Egypt. Go back to Palestine. You can return to Israel." Long story short, eventually Mary and Joseph settled in Nazareth. And Jesus became known as Jesus of Nazareth. Why did God dispatch so many angels? That His will would be done. Because there are Satan's angels, all created by God, but those particular angels revolted against Almighty God. And Satan's desire is to usurp his authority over Almighty God. One third of the angels of heaven aligned with Lucifer. And ever since then, they have been wreaking havoc down through the centuries over our planet. And as we get closer and closer to the tribulation, Satan knows his time is short. When the rapture happens, there's but 7 years left for the devil. And we're going to talk about this when we get back to the book of the Revelation, but God is ultimately going to cast the devil and his cohorts out of space altogether. They've been kicked out of God's heaven. They have access to the second heaven. And that's why we see so many sightings, because there's angelic warfare going on. Maybe even while we speak. We definitely know this because it's recorded in the Bible. In fact, Gabriel told Daniel in chapter 9, I would have been here quicker to give you the message from God, but we were at war with angels. Can you imagine what kind of sightings those people were seeing in those days? With all that war going on, as Gabriel, the archangel of God, was coming to dispatch a message to Daniel, the prophet. Why does God give us these wonderful ministering spirits for a very significant outcome? All this angelic intervention has been designed by our Heavenly Father for our benefit. All you have to do is read John 3:16. Why? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's desire is to reconcile His lost humanity back to Himself. And the only way He could do that, and we may not fully understand it this side of heaven, but it was to send His Son to be the Savior. Let me remind you, Christmas is about the greatest gift ever given. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourself. You can't save yourself. So many people get lost in, well, if I just get better at being a better person. I tried that. Doesn't work. Ask my wife. She said, you're getting worse, not better. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. You got to get saved to get better. You can't get better till you do get saved. Because what do you have to get saved with? You have an unregenerate spirit, a dead spirit, a sinful spirit. But God wants to give you the gift of His Spirit, the gift of eternal life. So always remember, for by grace, that's God's part. For by grace are you saved through faith, that's your part. It's not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Paul called it the unspeakable gift that God would become a man. Folks, don't deny yourself that which is your birthright if you become a child of God. Obviously, I'm speaking to those that might not be saved. You're denying what God has already prepared for you. There's no reason for anybody to die and go and be banished to hell. In fact, God didn't create hell for humanity. The Bible tells us that God has given us a special inheritance. Peter penned it. He said, we have an inheritance that is incorruptible. It is undefiled. And it fadeth not away. And it is reserved in heaven for you. I am so grateful that when God puts a reservation in for us, He doesn't lose the reservation. Amen? I say that with a little humor. My wife and I reserved a car for Thanksgiving to go visit family from Enterprise. And we went there to pick up the car, and they had no car. Now, we had the reservation papers right with us with the number and everything on it. And the guy said, we don't have it in our system. My wife, she got right on her phone and called the main office. She called corporate. They had it. But they had no car for us. I guarantee you, if you're saved and you have a reservation in heaven, God has a place for you. You have Jesus' word on it. Where's that at, Pastor? John 14. Jesus said, listen, I have a reservation for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, you'll be also. You have your reservation. That's the gift of God. It's reserved. So let us know that God dispatched these angels for our purposes. Because Jesus was born to die to redeem humanity. It was all God's timing. And he would send his son to redeem the world. And the child that was born was called, among other names, Emmanuel. Which we know from the Bible means God with us. Folks, salvation is a gift of God. He'll never de-gift you. Eternal life is granted by his grace. And I believe that Christmas is a time for us to be angels in a sense. Not supernatural, but messengers of the King. To, as it were, ring the bells. Last week, some of us went and we saw Ring the Bells, the Christian carol that was written by Longfellow. But the movie brought out the truth that it was inspired by his wife, Abigail. And she said, when those bells ring, they ring the message of hope. We ought to maybe get back to ringing our bells. Have we lost that the ringing of the bells is the message of hope? But even better than ringing the bells, we are to be the messenger of the gospel. Jesus was born to die. And we ought to be messengers of the King to ring the bells to a lost world that Jesus is the King born for you and me. And so let's sing that carol. As we dismiss, so we stand as we sing, come on, ring the bells. Let's stand. And then we'll close in prayer.